Okay, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
One person.
Baruchim Habayim.
Baruchim Habayim is correct. What is? How many people we got on here?
Two. So far, it's Jake and myself,
okay.
Bruce.
Okay, one is, who was first, Bruce?
Bruce, yes.
All right, Bruce. And two is Jake, not Wyman. Okay, now this is, we're going to wait a few minutes, only 10.
So let me ask you a question, Rabbi.
Right, go ahead.
I'm looking at my mileage, and I see that on July 2nd, since I came late, I only put in 30 minutes.
Oh, and I made 60, right?
No, and you didn't verify it.
Oh, which day did
so
that?
Do I need to edit it to 60?
Yeah, maybe
if
that's it.
If they're not the same, they won't work.
Huh?
If they're not the same, they won't work.
Right, it has to be exactly the same. And you could do 60 even though it's 30, because many, many times we learned over an hour. You know that.
Okay, so I just changed the 30 to 60.
Yeah, and it'll work.
And it verified, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I was just being honest.
Yeah, I know, but we learned sometimes way over the time. Another thing is, you know, if you look above your site there, you'll see they will only give you credit for 120 minutes a week.
Reuven, Mishuk.
Okay, number three, Reuven. Reuven, Mishuk. Okay, so they will only give anybody credit. You can learn all you want, but they only give you credit for 2 1-hours. And one day you can only learn 60 minutes.
60 minutes in one day, I know.
Yeah, I know, but then the whole week, though, you can learn more, but they only give you 2 hours, 120. And I can only get 180 a week. I can learn with 10 people, of, you know, 7, but they only give me 180 a week. So, because, you know, that's how it works. Huh?
Thank you for the Chumash Rashi.
Who?
Thank you for the Chumash Rashi you sent.
Oh, Chumash Rashi what?
The Arshko Chumash Rashi.
Yeah, I mean, when did you got it a long time ago, didn't you?
Yep, I just got it.
Oh, who's this? Jake?
Jake.
Oh, you went out in the store and you bought it?
No, I got it online.
Oh, you got it online? Where'd you get it from?
I got it from eBay.
eBay? Wait a minute. How did you get it? I never sold it to eBay.
It was sold on eBay.
No, but did you buy it?
Yeah, I bought a set of it. Chumash Rashi.
What, is it Chumash or is it the...
It's the brown one that you were talking about.
Yeah, my sefer with my name on it, in it?
No.
The Rashi Chumash?
I said thank you. Yeah, thank you. For
oh, yeah, you can buy it on eBay. Who'd you get it from? From eBay, okay. What did they make you pay for it?
$20.
Oh, that's pretty good. It's usually in the store more money. But that's one of the best sellers that Art Scroll ever printed. They got thousands and thousands of books, Art Scroll. But this Chumash Rashi probably one of the best sellers ever. Okay, so brown of Saperstein edition. And the other, the blue Chumash, that has some Rashis. But here, the brown has every single word and of every single Rashi and the comment on every single Rashi. That's
Yavin
called the Rashi.
Rachel.
Huh? Okay. Now
Dina
Rachel.
Dina
Rachel. We have a few more people that came on. Who's next?
Alex Schoimer.
All right, Alex. Next. Who's number six?
Idan Zahir.
Idan from Canada. Number seven.
Gil Kreisel.
Gil Kaisel from Savannah. All right. Who else? Anybody else? Number seven. Okay. Let me see now. Caleb, are you there? Oh, he didn't come on yet. Gil, hold it now. Now, Jake, are you getting my texts during the day, the day before this year? Are you getting it?
Yes, and you know what? Somebody said we should send them out like 15 minutes before, and then people have the reminder to call in.
Oh, which one is that?
15 minutes before you have the show, you send it out.
No, most of the time, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Today was like 1 o'clock, sometimes 10 o'clock in the morning. I never sent it out 15 minutes, maybe once in the blue moon. Usually it's 5, 6, 8 hours before. Now, listen,
okay.
Who just came in, Mordecai Litowski or Mordecai Kaufman? Which one?
Kaufman.
Okay, number eight. M-K, St. Louis. Are you getting, Mordechai, are you getting my texts too?
Yes, I am.
So, because I just put a whole bunch of people on, about 8, 10 of them, about a week ago. And, okay, there's Mordechai Kaufman gets it, the Moshe Reznor gets it, the new group, David Robb, who's he yet? Whatever, he didn't come on yet. Sophia from Philadelphia, she doesn't come on too much. Miss Sook, you get it, don't you? Yeah. Mordechai Letowski from Florida. Gil Kreisel, Caleb. Well, he's not on yet, Caleb. All right, now let us go to the... Who's there? All right, now we have... Online we have Gil, Idan, Alex, Dean Ruchem, Ruven, Jake, Bruce. Who else? Anybody else? Mordechai Kaufman, yeah, here, you're number 8. All right. Now, okay, let's go to 20th chapter in Chukas, page 236, if you have the brown Saperstein Chumash. Now, the first part is about Paraduma, the red cow. Now, some of your Chumashim may have the word red heifer. That's somebody in the 1920s or the 30s, you know, translated Chumash. He didn't know any English because the heifer is below one. A cow, paro, got to be older than 3. So they don't know English because the heifer is a little baby cow, a calf. What the guy got it mixed up with was it's the other animal. We have a mitzvah to chop his head off with an axe. His name, Eglo Arufa, the calf that you chop his head off. That is, if you find a Jewish body in Eretz Yisrael and you don't know who the murderer is and you look around, you can't find the perpetrator, so you take a Eglo, a calf, a Rufa, you chop off his head, and that's like killing the perpetrator. Now, how does that make any sense? That's one of the chukim of the Torah. It's so like killing the soul of the killer, but the animal and a person are two different things. So this is one of these few things that are chukim that we don't understand. Paraduma is one, which is very illogical, because everybody involved with the paro is tamei, and the guy you sprinkle the water on is tahar. How does that work? And Eglaruv is another, and then that goat you throw off the mountain on Yom Kippur, the Azazel is another one, which defies logic. And the eating meat and milk together is forbidden, but I can eat meat and milk separate. Two kosher milk and kosher meat together is very big sin, but it's separate, I can eat them. Or wearing shatnez, linen, or wool, but together I cannot. So there's about 7 or 8 chukim in the Torah that defies logic. Of course, the great Kabbalists, where they understand it, the average person can't grasp it. Like in science, does the average person know how you put hydrogen and oxygen together and it becomes liquid water? Most people don't understand that, but if you study chemistry, you understand it. All right, so now we're up to, we had a few people just come on. Who's just came on the last minute or two? Nobody? Gil Kreisel, Idan, Alex, Dina, Ruven, Jake, Bruce, Mordechai Kaufman, who else? Nobody? Hello, you still there, anybody, or am I off the air?
Yes, sir. Well, we're here.
How come everybody got their mic off, I see? Because when I asked the
question... Yeah, we put it on mute.
Why do you do that? And if you have noise in the house, I understand. But if it's quiet, why should you put it on mute?
Hello, Rabbi Schwab. Yes, I'm still here.
Who's this?
That was me who dropped out. My phone turned off.
Who's this?
Jake. I'm back.
Oh, Jake, you're back. The other time you jacked, you dropped out also, I noticed.
I know, but my phone turned off.
Hey, Idan, you have to fix one unverified Max. He's not on yet. Barry Cohn's not on yet. Bruce, you have 2 as of yesterday. You know that?
I just was on, and I said there was only that one on July 2nd, which was off.
And
let me see.
On 16, it worked?
What?
Did
60? I just changed it to 16. It worked. All everything
right.
else is verified.
All right. Mordechai Kaufman, you have 2 unverified. Are you aware of that?
I am now. I will check on those.
Alex, you had 2 as of yesterday. Did you take care of that?
I did fix one today.
All right. There's another one, not including tonight. I looked yesterday. Alex has two. Monica Calvin has two. Bruce has two. YY Figueroa, he's not on yet. He has six. Charlie from up there from Albany has one. Barry Cohen, one. Max Pearl, he's not on. Edon has one. Take care of it, guys. Those together, that's 25 times 60. That means I'm losing 1,200 points. You got to do it for yourself and for me.
Except you said that you can only get 180.
What do you mean 108?
Well, that's what they said, that Tour Mates max total of 180 miles per week.
No, I can only have 180. You can only have 120.
I know that.
So two sessions is 120.
Yes.
So you can all you have is two a week. You can learn with me, but you won't get credit for more than two a week. One a day, but then two a week as the maximum a Totem Mate can get for points.
Oh, okay. So you can have, as you have, sometimes a dozen participants.
Oh, you're right about that. I know what you mean. I can't have more than 180.
That's right.
All right, you're right. Okay, true. All right, but you're right. Like you said, 100% right. Because we learn three times a week. And you can
On the other hand, you know, it's like you're pushing the envelope a little bit to demonstrate that, oh, even though I can only earn 180, but I have a dozen learners and...
But you know what? Not every one of you call in three times a week. Some only call once a week.
I understand that, too.
All right, I'm not missing 120, 1,200, you're right. But it's probably less than that. I'm glad for bringing that up. Anyhow, take care of every night you're unverified. Let's go to chapter 20. Now you have to have a
Rabbi?
What? Yeah.
There is nothing unverified on the site.
You don't have nothing missing?
No, nothing.
Well, I had one as of yesterday. Maybe you fixed it yesterday.
Which one is that?
I don't know. One of them. Let's go. Number Mayor Pearl. Okay. Mayor Pearl, you have... how many do you have? You have Mayor Pearl. Where is that? You have, as of yesterday, Mario Kaufman, Alex. Where's your home? Where's that one? I don't think you're... I think you're clean, Mayor. I think you took care of everything, right?
No, I think there's like three or four I got to do.
Really? Bruce, YY, Charlie, Edon, Aaron, Max. Max, oh, yeah, you're right. Four. Mayor, I got you down as Max, Pearl. Four, take care of them. And I hope whatever... What did the doctor say? You need it or you don't need it?
He said to wait a little while and we'll see what the ultrasound says.
Yeah, it's no big deal. I had it twice. I told you about it. It's no big deal. It's a little minor operation. All right. We're talking about a hernia. I had that many times in my life already. No big deal. They kick you out of the hospital after 3 hours after the hospital and they say go home. It's a minor operation. Anytime you get older and something up very heavy, you get a hernia, so they put in a screen. They cut you open a little bit down there. They put in a screen, and it takes a few weeks. It takes about five days for the pain to go away. Total, complete, not feeling anything takes a few months. Okay, that's what it is. Sometimes you get it by over-exercising, you know, or doing or slipping somewhere on the ice. You get a hernia. Okay, now...
Yeah, and you should make sure to allow yourself to rest.
Oh, yeah, right after that.
Because I know that after I had a hernia operation, then I ended up making 3,000 donuts for Hanukkah.
What do you mean making?
You mix the dough, you roll it out, you let it proof, you fry it, and then you fill it.
So what did that have to do with a hernia?
Oh, it was the work I was doing that was...
Oh,
within a week after my
operation. Mixing dough takes so much body strain?
No, it was standing on my feet and making 3,000 or something like 300 dozen for the community.
How could you make 300 dozen for what? An organization?
Yeah, it was for the community menorah lighting.
But did you have to do it in one day?
Yeah. They were fresh. I did it the morning of the menorah lighting.
Oh, you mean 3,000 little, what do you call them?
Sufganiyot.
Sufganiyot, right, donuts. Oh, boy. So he stands on his feet all day long. You get a hernia, okay.
Well, no, no. I had had the hernia operation.
Oh, oh, oh.
But I didn't allow myself to recuperate from the operation.
So what do you mean you made $3,000? What does that mean?
What do you mean? It was like
it's like rehabilitation. He was doing this work right after his operation.
It was like 280 dozen 280 dozen sufganiyot.
Oh, I mean it cost you or they paid you or what do you mean $300?
No, I did it as a volunteer. They provided
the size. Very good.
You know, I mean, I worked my way through school. So when I got my bachelor's degree, I was an apprentice bread baker. When I got my master's, I was an apprentice cake baker. And when I got my doctorate, I was able to get full union wages.
See that? Now he worked his way. He knows what hard work is. And that's why you can get a hernia by straining your body, either athletics. A lot of athletes have it. Okay, it's a minor operation. Let's go over.
I swim 2 miles a day.
What, you run 2 miles a day?
No, swim.
Oh, you do it now, even today?
Nowadays? Yeah, I did 4,500 yards today, which is 2.5 miles.
Oh, and swimming?
Yes.
Man, this guy's in good shape. I can see that. The more you work the body, the healthier it gets. Overworking it or making the wrong turn, you get a hernia. But not doing exercise makes you weaker. The more energy you use makes you stronger. Anybody who's an athlete knows this. In fact, you need less sleep and less food because your body's full blast. Really exploding with energy, and usually when you're bored, you eat. Or if you're, but if you're very athletic, you need some food, but you don't need much. You don't need much sleep because the body's so working and digesting all the food, and it doesn't. It really is healthier. You know, anyone who's an athlete knows what I'm talking about. Let's go to chapter 20. After all the chukum are discussed, which we just said before, the so-called
Eliezer.
Eliezer Lifkin, thank you for calling in. You're number 10. Eliezer. Very good. Now let's go to chapter 20. After all the story of the Paraduma, the red cow is over and all that, we start on a totally different subject, which takes us to the end of the parasha. They're now about to enter the land after 40 years because Miriam died and Aaron died and Moshe's going to die in the last month of the year. Right before they get into Eretz Yisrael. So we're talking about the 40th year. And now they're sending a note to the countries. Let us pass through your country, because we are going into Canaan, it was called, the land of Canaan. Let us pass through. And they said no. Both countries said no, and the Israel couldn't fight them. God did not permit them, so they had to make a detour around. Let's take a look. Page 236, chapter 20. By Yavo B'nai Yisrael, Kol Adam, and the B'nai Yisrael, all the community. Why do you say B'nai Yisrael? That means all the Jews. Why do you have to add the word Kol Adam? In this last year, nobody died. B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people. But all of them, Kol Adam, no one died in this last year. B'nai Yisrael means could be 90%, 10%, 5%. Well, I don't know how much would that mean. Kol Adam, every single person, no one died in the last 12 months. Kol Adam, 39 to the 40th year. Midbar Tzin. From the Midbar, you know, it's called Midbar Sinai, but certain sections have different names, like this part up, the upper part right next to the Yarden where they crossed over. Yericho is called Midbar Tzin. B'Kodesh Rishon, the first month. Yeshiva Om B'Kodesh, and the people lived in Kodesh. But Thomas Shom Miriam, we read that. I don't know if we got there yet. Miriam died on the first month, Nisan, Rosh Chodesh, the first day. But the Kavashim of was buried there. Oh, I think we learned this already. There was no water. They ganged up on Moshe. Yeah, I'm sorry. And then Moshe got angry and he hit the rock. Let's skip all that thing. Now we go to Revi'i. That means I should be at 20 Pusik 13. We learned this the other night. When Miriam died and there was no water, and after 40 years, Moshe thought they had learned their lesson already. And Moshe lost his temper and he says, "Listen to me, you rebels, you." And he, since he yelled at them a little bit, he got to hit the rock because he lost his temper after 40 years, I understand. I mean, after 40 years, when are you going to? And it's always a minority of the people. And they say, why did you bring us out of Mitzrayim? 40 years in the desert. There's always some rotten elements amongst everybody. Why did you take us out? The old argument. Fire broke out and killed a lot of people, and that took care of that. Now we're up to Revi'i. Page 241, chapter 20, pasuk number 14. Yishlach Moshe, Malach Moshe sent agents. A Malach is an angel or an agent. A Malachim Mikodesh from that town, and Malach Edom to the king of Edom. Edom is a code name for Esav. Esav was a brother, a twin of Yaakov. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, these guys were born. And Edom was red, healthy guy, and he had a lot of hair. And his other name is Esav, and the other name is Edom. Edom means dumb, blood. He was a bloodthirsty fellow. Now they sent a letter because he guarded the borders of Eretz Canaan. They said, look, we're coming through, brother, let us through. We're not going to touch anything, eat anything, cut down, walk on anybody's field. So now they sent a messenger. Yishlach Moshe Malach, agents.
Sorry, Rabbi.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Who is it?
Why didn't it? Dina Rachel.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it say Hashem told Moshe? Usually it says Moshe said to Moshe to do this. Moshe just does it on his own. He's not commanded by Hashem. Is there any?
There's nothing in Moshe was not commanded.
Okay.
By Yishlach Moshe Malachim, because God told him to, the agent, Mikodesh, on the town of Kodesh, El Melech Edom, the king of Edom, Ko Omar Ochicho, so says your brother. Like it or not, I'm your brother, Yisrael. I am your brother, Yisrael. Ato Yadah, you know, he has called Hatalo, all the hardship. Hashem must have known that we had the last 40 years. And the 210 years as slaves in Egypt. You know all this. Now we have a crash course in Jewish history. Takes about two pesukim. Vayeridu avasein de Mitzrayim. Our forefathers came down into Egypt. V'neishim Mitzrayim yomim rabim. We stayed in Mitzrayim many years. And how many years was that? Anybody know?
400 and...
410.
No, yeah, 430, but it's a code word. How many years was... Huh?
210.
Okay, 210. You see where Yomim Rabim has the word 210? What's the first letter of Yomim?
Yud.
The first letter of Yomim?
Yud.
Okay, how much is that?
10.
And
10.
Rabim, what's Rabim? Reish.
200.
Huh?
200.
No, Kuf is 100.
No, 200.
How much is 10 times 200? I mean, 10... At the Reish, Yud is 10 and Reish is 200.
That's
what
I said, 200.
You're adding now. 210 years. Yom, Yay, Yud is 10. It means years. Reish is 200. Yom and Rabim, the Rosh HaTevis, acrostic we call that in English. The first letters is called Rosh HaTevis.
Oh, God.
You see that? Yom and Rabim is 210 years?
Yes.
So it's not just a few days. The Torah is very deep. Many, many days. That means 210 years because Yud is 10 and Resh is 200. Nu added, 210 years. V'yer, v'yoreyu, lonu, mitzvim, and Egyptians made us bad people because we couldn't keep the mitzvahs. V'lavaseinu made them bad people or they were bad to us. V'nitzachel Hashem, we cried out to God. V'yishma kolenu, he heard our voice. V'yishach malach, he sent an agent. That means Moshe. V'yoseinu mitzvah took us out of Egypt. And that's the whole Jewish history, right? In one pasuk there already, the whole thing in crash course. Behine and now, behold, we are coming up next to you. Anachnu Kodesh, we're in Kodesh. That's a town outside of wherever this Edom was, right near the border of the Eretz Canaan, and the border is the Yarden. Behine Anachnu Kodesh, Ir Mikseigulecha, a city at the border of your, edge of your border. Venavrono, please, no means please, let me go through. Let us go through. Pasuk 17. Let us pass through your land. But I call your land. Lo Navra but say we're not gonna walk in anybody's field. Ubakarim, we're not gonna walk through anybody's vineyard. Lo Nishta Maybe, we're not drinking anybody's water and nobody's water. Derechamelkanez, we're gonna go the king's road. The shortest road. We're gonna get as fast as we can across the country shortcuts, because the king can take a shortcut to anybody's property. Not the yeminusmo. We won't turn to the right or the left, or do bother anybody. Until we pass your border. Edom said to him, "Lo sarabi, you're not crossing me." Pen bacher, blessed with the sword, Ethan looks like, I'm going to come out to you. And you know we're brothers. And Yaakov blessed our great-great-grandfather. He said the Yaakov will live by his mouth, means he prays, God helps him. Esau will live by the sword. So you have a right to pray to God, but we have a right to kill you if you violate any of the rules. You cannot cross my country. Pen Bacherev doesn't say B-cherev with a sword. Bacherev with that sword that our great-great-grandfather Yaakov blessed us. We have a right to use the sword. You have a right to pray to God, but we have a right to use the sword. Esau, I'm going to come after you. V'yomelav ben Esau. So ben Esau said to him, V'mesila, okay, we'll take, we'll go on the highway. We're not going to take any shortcuts. Take us longer to get through your country, but we'll go on the highway. Na'ale, we will go. V'mimecha nishtem, and if we drink your water, ani umikne, me and my cattle, v'nasati, b'chem, we'll pay for it. Rak, ein davar, please, don't make us any trouble. But Raglai Avro, I'm going to walk with my feet. What do you mean, you walk with your hands? What do you mean with your feet? I'm going to be careful where I walk. I won't ruin anybody's property. I'm going to walk with my feet. I'm going to be very careful where I walk. Losavi said, you're not coming through. Nope. So Hashem told Moshe, don't fight them. Because centuries later, David HaMelech, King David, will wipe them out. But their time for obliteration has not yet come. Yetzer Edom, the cross, Edom came out toward them. Thousands of people, big army. Yod Chazoko, fully armed. Yemon Edom, so Edom refused. Noson Et Yisrael, that give you, the Jews, Avor, trans, rights to trans, to go through his country. Permit the Jews pass, right to pass through his border. But yet you saw all of them, and the Jews turned away, went there on a detour around them, went around the other way. Now Chamishi, Pasuk 22. So they traveled away from Kodesh. But you saw the whole community, nobody died. Har Hohor, the mountain on top of a mountain. It's like an apple on top of an apple. And a mountain, a little round mountain on top of another mountain. And God said to Moshe Aaron, Bahor Hohor, the mountain on top of a mountain. Because he calls it Mount Hor. But Hor means a mountain. And Rashi says a mountain on top of a mountain. El Gavul Eretz Edom. Next to the land of Edom, Lamor. Now, Edom was also Esau. They're called Esau. They're called Amalek. They're called Edom. Edom is red, blood. Lamor. Yesaf Aaron Alamov. Aaron has to be collected into his nation. He has to expire. When you die, you're collected into your nation. People like you, Adam, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, all people who believe in God, you're going to go back to your nation, which means he's going to die. Kilo Yovo Elorz, he's not coming into the land. Asher Nosati Levnei Yisrael, that I gave to the Bnei Yisrael. Why? Al Asher Marisim, SP. You rebelled against me recently. You and your brother, and I said, speak to the rock, and you hit the rock. I'll be SP Lemay Mariva, the water of strife. Yeah, there was argument, and they hadn't. Some of the Jews hadn't learned over 40 years. And Moshe said, "You rebels!" And he yelled at them, and he got excited. Moshe hit the rock. So Aaron could have said to Moshe, "Hey, Moshe, that's my stick you're using. Give it back. I don't want you to hit." God said, "Speak, not hit." So you're at fault, Aaron too, which means if someone does a sin, and it's you can stop them, and if you don't, you're guilty. Like someone robs a bank, the guy that drives the car is also guilty because without that, the guy wouldn't rob the bank. So if you see a bad thing happening, you don't stop it, you're guilty. So you could have said to Moshe, that's my stick you're using. It's been in the Holy of Holies 40 years. I'm not letting you hit the rock with it. Because that didn't, so you let him do it, you're guilty. And both of them are guilty for the same sin. Pasuk number 25, Karkas Aaron. Take Aaron, his son Elazar. He had four sons, two died. Only had another Benavio died. But Elazar, his summer lived. Elazar was the older one, so he's going to become the Kohen Gadol now under his father. Kachas Aaron, Elazar, Elazar's son. Bring him to the top of the mountain. That Hor, the mountain on top of a mountain. Vahavshed is Aaron's begolim, and you take off Aaron's clothes. Why doesn't Aaron take off his own clothes? Bahavsha, you take off as Aaron as Begulim, because you set him up years ago as the Kohen Gadol, because I told you to, and therefore you take off his clothes and give it to his son. Bilbashim as Elazar, put them on Elazar, his son, Beno, and Aaron Yosef, he'll expire, umeis, and die there. What's the difference between Yosef, expire, and umeis? You become unconscious, and then you die. First, the body is can't function, and then the neshama is removed. By your save, you'll be collected in, which means physically you're dead, but not mentally, and not your heart is still beating. Then mace, your heart will stop beating. Shom there. V'yas Moshe kashetziva Hashem, the guy Moshe did what God told him, with a lot of sadness, Moshe, his brother, v'yalu, they went up, all four people, Moshe, three people, Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar. The whole community. Moshe stripped Aaron as begotav of his, doesn't mean the clothes that you wear, it means those holy garments that a Kohen Gadol wears, the eight ones, the eight. Because dying is a religious procedure. You only wear the clothes when you work in the bay in the Mishkan. But here he's going to die because that's also doing what God told you. God is telling you you're going to die this place at this time. So dying is a very, and these great tzaddikim, you need to have the official clothes on. In front of all the people, they saw he went up the hill. But Yavshe and Moshe, as Aaron, Moshe divested, me took him off. Aaron has begot of his garments. But Yavshe saying, Malbesh Osim as Elazar, but no. He clothed, put it on Elazar, his son. But no, Yomas. His not Moshe's son, Aaron's son. Vayomas Aaron Diamond died. Shom there. Barosha Hor on the top of the mountain. Vayored Moshe Elazar ben Hor. And Moshe and Elazar came down the mountain. Vayira Kol Edom. They were, look, they three went up and two came down. They understood. Vayira, they were very afraid. Vayira means they saw. Vayira means they were afraid. Kigova Aaron, that Aaron expired. Vayivko, and they cried. It's Aaron. 30 days. 30 days. We said Shiva 7 days. And for a someone who's not the father and the mother, we are availing for 30 days. We don't sit Shiva for only seven. But you can't hear music and buy new clothes for 30 days. And for a father and a mother, it's 12 months. Can't take a haircut for 12 months or shave, you imagine? For your father and mother. For a brother and a sister and a son and a wife, it's 30 days. And when you tear Kriya, if for a father and mother, only for those two people who you came from, you tear on the left side where the heart is. Everyone else in the family, you tear on the right side. And you have to tear the length of a fist, 4 inches, of your shirt and the jacket on top. Obviously, you wear a shirt, that's not your best shirt. And you put on a jacket that's old, anyhow, you're going to throw it out, so you wear, you tear that. And so, but here, nobody tears Korea. Because the coin is not allowed to destroy the government. He put the clothes on his son on top of the mountain. And the people saw that Aaron expired because he didn't come down. They cried 30 days. Call B'nai Yisrael. Now, chapter 21. By Yishma HaKenani, the Canaanites who owned the land heard about this, that Aaron died. How do they know what's going on privately amongst the Jewish people? How do you? Because it says in Rashi, they saw the clouds disappear. The clouds came down only because of Aaron. Look at Rashi. The Yishma, page 248. Rashi, what do you mean they heard? They perceived. The Canaanite, Shoma, he heard. Shemetah, the Aaron died. How do you know? When his talku, Anani covered with him, and the clouds of glory departed because they only came because Aaron was a tzaddik. He brought the clouds above that the sun shouldn't burn them on top of the sand. The sand shouldn't burn their bare feet. On the right side, no one should see them. Left side, front and back, no one should see them in the desert. So they came because of Aaron. Now they just departed and they could see the Jewish people, all millions of them. Remember, the water came because of Miriam. The clouds came because of Aaron. And the man, that food, came because of Moshe. No, now we're right at the border of the country, and the Canaanite heard. They heard that Aaron died. It didn't hear. It means they saw that the clouds of glory departed, as stated in the tractate Rosh Hashanah, and Amalek, which is really Edom, which is the same name, had always been a lash of chastisement Israel. They always attacked Israel. As soon as they came out of Egypt 40 years ago, they attacked them the first week. That's Esav. He hates his brother because they both are twins, Yaakov and Esav, 400 or 500 years ago. But the children never gave up that hatred for Israel and for the Jews. So now they figure they can attack because Aaron, the protective clouds, are gone. And Amalek had always been a lash of chastisement, ready at all times to cause calamity. So let's take a look. Yishma Kanani, they heard Melech Arad, the king of Arad, the Canaanite king of Arad, Yosheba Negev, who lives in the south. You saw that the Jews came the way that the Meraglim came, the spies. They fought with Yisrael. Yesh Mimenu Mimen Shevi. They took one captive, one girl. They captured one girl, little girl. Yidai Yisrael Nader. And the Jewish people made an oath to God. Hashem. Vayomer, they said, Imnason Titum, if you give this nation to in my hand, if you let us destroy them. And so Om Hazeb, you are this nation. Now, why don't they say the name? Why don't they say the Canaanim? Yishma Canaani, Melcharod. Say, look at Rashi. They dressed Edom, like a Molek. They dressed like a Canaanite. Look what it said. Yishma Canaani. They heard that Aaron died. Okay, the next Rashi. Yoshev and Nega, page 1, 249. They dwelled in the south. Zeh Amalek. This is Edom. This is Esav. The same thing. This is Amalek. That doesn't it say Amalek, Yosheb, Eretz, and Negev, they lived in the south. Didn't the spies say that 40 years ago? Mishino Eslashon, Amalek changed his language to speak in the Canaanite tongue so that it could confuse the Jews. And if the Jews will pray to God, save me from the Canaanites, and the prayer won't work because they're not Canaanites. G'day Shiyir Yisrael Mispalim, in order that Jews should pray to the Holy One, blessed be He, to give the Canaanites into the hand, and they're not Canaanites, so the prayer is not going to work. But they were not Canaanites. Israel saw that their clothes, Kalvush Amalekim, were like an Amalek, not like a Canaanite. The shown of their language was the language of Canaan, but the clothes wasn't like that. They tried to trick the Jews. Omru, they said like this, let us pray without specifying which nation it really is in front of us. It's somebody camouflaged. We don't know who it is exactly. Doesn't it say, Imnoson Titan, so almost that this nation, didn't mention Amalek or Canaan, because maybe they're Canaan and maybe Amalek, and they dress one way, they speak the other way. So the Jews made a general prayer. So, Yida Yisrael Neg, the Pashik number 8, Jews made an oath to God. If you give them completely, it's almost that this nation, whoever they are, but you're doing our hands, which means if you let us kill them all, we will destroy their cities also. Yishma Hashem, because you think God heard their voice. Esav has the power of the sword, but the Jews have the power of prayer. Eitan is a Canaanite, and he gave over the Canaanites to them. V'yecharam Eschem, and they destroyed them and their cities. V'yikushem Okum Chormo. They called that place destruction. Total destruction. Which means now they're free to enter from the east side of the Yarden and cross till you get to the first city called Yericho. The east of Mahar Hor, so they travel from Mahar Hor, which is right on the border. If you have the Ari capital in Chumash, you should get that, the next purchase. One volume, 1,000 pages, by a great man, Aryeh Kaplan, 1,400 pages. It has maps. Every few pages, a map. Here on page 771, there's a map of the whole Israel right and left borders. The left side is the Great Sea, and the right side is the desert. And they show you the Yam Kineret up north, the Yarden River going down to the Dead Sea, and all the rivers coming out of the Dead Sea. And Yericho, that's a city that's right there, you know, that's where they cross over Jericho, right? And you see all the rivers and where the right side is called Moab, because the Moabites own the right side of the Dead Sea. And then you have to look at this. If you have it, you can get it. Next Chumash, you got to buy. He has pictures of all the animals that are kosher and not are kosher, and birds and fish. and the map of Canaan, and many maps here, and how Jacob came down to Egypt way, way back 400 years ago, and the end of the 40 years, how they traveled. You got to get that next chumash. It's a purple chumash called R.E.A. Kaplan. He was a genius. The Baal Tshuva, when he's like 25 years old, he had a Ph.D. from Yale or Harvard, brilliant. And by the time he was from, for 10 years, he learned already Kabbalah. He's one of the greatest men in this modern time. I met the man once. And he died young, like 50 or something, 55. And he wrote this chumash. And if you want to have a real good English translation where every word is translated, you get this R.E. Kaplan chumash. You can get it on a scroll. You have enough points. It won't cost you a penny. It's called, it's one volume, all the Haftorahs, everything, all the pictures and the diagrams. I mean, there's nothing like this in the whole world of Torah. He knows what he's talking about. He's a physicist. He explains all these things that, you know, the average person doesn't understand. And he has all kind of numbers and dimensions and how big and how tall and what's the name of the birds that are kosher and the fish that are not kosher. And he explains all the details and what's in the Mediterranean and what's all the different cities that Jews stayed in there 40 years and how long they stayed there. And okay, so he said, now, so they coming, so they defeated the Canaanites. Okay. Page 250, passing number Dalit. Yisum Ahar, they went from Ahar Ahar, Derech Yamsu, back to the Reed Sea. Red Sea is not correct, because the guy that translated Chumash 100 years ago didn't know English, so he called it Red, but it's really Reed. Because Suf is reeds, and R-E-E-D instead of R-E-D, but it's really Reed Sea, but we can't, we call it the Red Sea. That's how the word calls it. Huh?
Didn't we leave it red?
What'd you say? I didn't hear you. You got to talk into the mic.
When we left Mitzrayim, didn't we leave that sea red with Mitzrayim?
Oh, because we killed them, right. They drowned in the thing. I don't know if they had any blood. They just drown. When you drown, you don't have any, let any blood out. God caused it.
If someone against the rocks, they definitely bleed.
Yeah, but that's not really why it's called red. Red because the guy doesn't know English. It should be Reed Sea, because Suf means reeds.
He didn't read it right.
Yeah? So? So Suf means reeds. Like the Reed Sea is not very deep, like an ocean, thousands of feet. A few, maybe 100 feet deep. And it had these long reeds sticking out from the bottom all the way to the top. It was a Reed Sea. So the Red Sea is a misnomer. Like the sea in front of Japan is called the Yellow Sea. Not yellow at all. Or below Ukraine there is called the Black Sea. In Russia, it's not black. That's what they call it. Lead pencil. The stuff is not made from lead for the last 80 years. It's made from graphite. Or rubber tires. They're mostly no rubber in the tires, almost none. It's all synthetic stuff. So you have to know these expressions, like the bluegrass of Kentucky. No bluegrass over there. It's just an expression. So we have to know what these things mean. And so Vayisu Mehar Har, back to the Yamsu. Why did they go back? Look in Rashi. Why are you going back after 40 years? Look in Rashi, page 215. Why are you going back? Since Aaron had died, and this war with Amalek had come upon them, they turned to their rear. They went in the opposite direction, by the way of the Sea of Reeds, when the decree of punishment for the sin of the spies was decreed upon them years ago, Shinamar, as it says, in the journey to the wilderness by way of the Sea of Reeds. And here they turned to their rear, seven journeys, seven little trips, to where they were seven encampments earlier. Why? Obviously, you're getting to the answer in a minute. B'nai Yisrael, Nosu, and the children of Israel journeyed from the wells of B'nai Yaakov to Mosero, and from there he went, did he die at Mosero? He Mosero, Moses, did Aaron die at Mosero? He died on the mountain, on top of the mountain. But the verse means that the Israelites went back there to Mosero and mourned over Aaron and eulogized him as if they were in his presence. What do I do this for? Go and check the journeys, and you will find that to be seven journeys backwards because they didn't give Aaron a proper burial. They 30 days, but they didn't say all the praises of Aaron. You go to a Jewish funeral and they talk how great the person was. If you don't give them enough, they're very important to go to a funeral of a Jew, of a religious Jew, because they tell you how he dedicated his life to Hashem. They will never say that while the man is living because no real tzaddik wants to hear his praises. But once he's gone, you can say it because every one of us is going to end up dead. You know that. So you want to be sure that during your lifetime, you don't want to hear your praises because you know how much more there is to accomplish. However, after you're dead, they're giving people sitting there a little musa, a little encouragement. Hey, everybody's going to die. You better be sure you have no avarice on your account by the time you die, because then you won't have to suffer in the next world. So they didn't eulogize Aaron properly. They had to go back seven places where they 40 years ago had to return. Of course, they went right back up north again, but it was a sort of a punishment. So, okay. Passing number four. Vayisu mahor hahor derech yamsuf. Back to yamsuf. Not the Dead Sea. The Reed Sea. If you had a map like I'm looking at, you will see it. The Svov as Eretz Edom to go around Edom, because Edom said you can't come through. V'tikzor nefesh ha'om b'derech. And the people got very, grew short of the patience. Again, they're talking, starting up against God over Moshe. Loma Helios, only Mitzrayim, why didn't you take us out of Egypt? Okay, I think we're getting into that section. We learned already about hitting the rock. They die in the Midbar. We have no food. Yeah, they had mon every day. What do you mean? Mon tasted like anything you wanted. We have no Mayim. Well, she died. And they don't like the bread because Moshe's still living. Because of him, they're getting mon. But because of Miriam, they had no water, so Moshe hit that rock and the water, and so he produced the water from another rock, and Aaron, the clouds disappeared, and then no, Moshe is not coming to Eretz, so he's going to die too before that 39th year is over. But now Shana comes, okay, so they don't, now we don't want to go back to that. We learned that already. Where's that? Maybe we didn't learn this. So God sent against the people snakes. No, we didn't learn this. We have no water. Passing number five. Our life is disgusting, and our soul is at its limit. With this insubstantial food, they called the mon lechem haklokel, kal, very light food. It's not like a steak where you can dig your teeth in. It's this light food, very tiny kernels. Sure, it tastes like everything you want it to taste like, and it looked like everything you want it to look like, but we really want real food. And now, after 40 years, God sent a terrible thing against them. God sent snakes, asrofim, vipers, deadly serpents. And they bit the people of Yomus. I'm raw, a lot of people. Does that mean 10? Or 10,000? 30,000? Well, how much was that? What it means I'm raw? What does it mean? What it means a lot? How much is a lot? So let's take a look. They came to Moshe. Okay, we're sorry. We realize we did a mistake. We did a sin. Ooh, they're finally learning to do tshuva. We talked against God. And you. His power elder, please pray to God. Take away this snake. I mean, this punishment of snakes. We follow Moshe. Moshe is paid for the people. Moshe. Shem to Moshe, Aselichol, Sorof, make a serpent out of copper. Mesim Oso, Alanez, put it on a big pole, like a flagpole. It's a pole that holds a flag, but a big pole on top, make a copper serpent. Why you call a Noshuk, anyone who's bitten by a snake, Ro Oso, he'll look up at this copper serpent that you made, the Chay who live. Why? Because you look up to God. God causes you to suffer because of your sins. If you don't do sins, you won't suffer. You complain against Moshe and against Shem also and again. So the snakes came out and bit them. Now Moshe said, make a copper snake and make it look like one of those snakes and put it on a big pole. And the people look up, they'll do tshuva. They'll see God made this. They didn't come all of a sudden out of The desert never came out before. Vayav Moshe, Moshe made Nochosh Nechoshen, a snake out of copper. You see the two words have the same root? Nochosh Nechoshes Nun Ches Shin. Noch Nechoshes is copper. And Nochosh is a snake. So some people want to say it's a copperhead. Like we have in New York State, a copperhead. You ever seen a copperhead? They're brownish and yellowish. And if you put it on a big pole, if a man was bitten by a snake, as an ish, a man, he looked up to the copper snake, he lived. He may have been a bit pain, but he's living. So that's the end of that story. So now the Jews traveled on.
So that's why medicine uses the snake on the pole as a symbol.
Yeah, 100% right. I knew that, but I'm glad you said it. Nochosh is a snake, and nechosh is a copper. Some snakes are copper-looking, like a copperhead. And it's deadly. Okay, they came to a town, Ovos. If you look in a map, if you are like I have, you'll see it. They traveled from Ovos. They came to the ruins of the passes, some kind of valley where they had some kind of ruins inside of it. Bamidbar in the desert, Asher Pnei Moab, which is facing Moab. Moab is what we call today Transjordan, or the right side Jordan, right? That's the east where the sun comes up in the east, right? The sun comes up in the east, and it shines directly into, when the temple was built, into the front door of the temple. Because the front door of the temple was in the east. Your back was to the sun when you walked in. And it shined right through the front door of the Beis HaMikdash. And in the desert, it also was facing the east. Because the Mishkan is a mini Beis HaMikdash. Misham Nosu. And from there, they traveled north. The Yachnu B'Nachal Zered. They came to Nachal Zered. That's a river that comes out the bottom of the Dead Sea. Now, not the Red Sea. The Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is where I was in there. I swam in there. You never put your face in the water. It's 33% salt. The ocean is 13%. This is 33%. If you put your mouth or your eyes open underwater, you're going to burn for hours. So I came there the first time, and the tour guide didn't tell me it's salt water. I put my hand in the water, and I wanted to take a drink. I thought it was a clear lake. Man, I put that salt water in my mouth. I was coughing for 15 minutes. 33% alcohol of salt. And now many people swim there, and they have on the shore, right up the shore, about 50 feet up the beach, they have a outside shower, and it's fresh, cold spring water, because as soon as you come out of that, you have to clean off all the salt from your body, because you put on your clothes, it'll fork a cake of salt on your body. 33% is one-third of the water is salt. And it's so buoyant, it's impossible to drown in the Dead Sea. Why is it called dead? Because there's so much salt, there's no life there. No organism can live on 33% salt. It's a Dead Sea. There is no organism ever found there. Fish for sure not. And it has a lot of salt and brine. It is very, very rich mineral deposits, all kinds of salts and brine and stuff. And when you go swimming there, you never, ever swim with your face forward, always on your back. And then you can get in a sitting position. You'll never go down because it buoys you up. You can't sink. It's impossible. You can read a newspaper there. That they do that. If you don't splash around, you can sit there, have a drink, and you won't go down. But you don't get that water in your face ever. You can do it once, you'll never forget it. Anyhow, that's the Dead Sea. And Nachal's there. That's a river that comes out of the bottom of the Dead Sea. Mishom Nosu V'Yachnim Eivahayar Arnon. Then it went up a little bit. There's another river called Arnon. Asher B'Midbar Hayosi Mikvo Emori. It comes out of the area that the Amorites live on the right side of the Dead Sea. And you go up a little north, more up the Yarden River. You can eventually come to Yericho. That's when the Jews crossed over. Ki Arnon Gvul Moab. Arnon is the end of Moab. Bain Moab, Bain Amor, between the two nations. Both of them were on the east bank of the Jordan River. Oh, you see the picture on page 255? See that? That picture in the Sapper scene? Dead Sea on the bottom.
Yeah.
That line above it is called the Yarden, Jordan. That little lake above it is the Kinneret. They don't tell you that, but it's the Kinneret, and it formed like a harp. And underneath the Kinneret, they don't show, but I drew a line. Another river comes out to the right, Yarmouk. And then there's a Yah, you see the one below that? Yarmouk. There's Yarmouk and Yarmouk. Yeah, okay. So, you have to know geography of the country. All right, puzzle number 14, page 256. Al-Kain, therefore, Yeomar, it said in the book of God's Wars. Al-Kain, Yeomar, it is said, but safer in the book, the God's Wars. There is no such book. So why does it say about this? It was said in the story of the wars of God. Where does it say it's safer? It says the safer. So why doesn't they translate book? Oh, safer is a book. So why does it say about this? It was said in the story because there is no book. And if it would be a book, it would say not that it says in the book. It's written in the book. But it doesn't say written. It says said. Oh, Sefer is a book, but Sipur is a story also. The tales about God's wars. There's no book. Al-Kain, Yei Omar, it is said. Sipur, the stories of God's wars, was never written down. It was passed on from father to son all for thousands of years. As Vohe Bosufo, that which was given at the Sea of Reeds. Vohe, the Sea of Reeds. When they crossed over the Reed Sea, they got the Torah. It means Vohe. It was given. The Sufo, right after the cross over the Yam Suf, that's on the Cholam Arnon, and the rivers, the valleys of Arnon, the Eshet and the waterfalls on the Cholam of rivers, Asher Noto, that the outpouring of the village of valleys where when it veered to dwell. It's very complicated in Hebrew here. It's written in code language. All these things mean very deep things. Eshed means a waterfall of blood, because when there were Jews were going through a certain valley, the Amorites were on one side of the mountain in the caves, and the Canaanim were on the other side of the valley in the caves. There were caves on both sides. And then in one mountain had these jetties, these rocks sticking out, and the other one had these holes where the people were in. And they said, when the Jews come through this, the only way to get to Jericho, we're going to drop these boulders on them and kill them. And it's a very narrow little passage. We'll kill the front, that it can't go forward. And then we'll kill the back troops, and then we can just wipe them out because we're hit high up here on the mountain. And we'll kill the Jewish people by stoning them. So God made a miracle, if you look in Rashi, that the two mountains came together, and the people that were in the caves, the other mountain across that had these jetties sticking out, went into the holes and crushed the people in all the caves, and the mountain was flowing with blood down. See what Rashi says? See that? 15 Rashi, 257, page 257. The outpouring of the valleys. The Aramaic translation of Shefach, outpouring, the third verse means the outpouring of the valleys, in that the blood of the Amorites was spilled there. For they were hiding there, because the mountains there were very high, and the valley deep and narrow, and the mountains near one another. A person can stand on one mountain on one side and speak to his friend across the valley in the other mountain, on the mountain on the other side. The road upon which the Israelites would travel below passed through this valley. The Amorites said, when Israel will enter into the valley in order to pass through, because that's the only way to go, we will come out of the caves up in the mountain above, and we'll kill them with arrows and boulders and catapult stones. These hollows, the carved out in which the Amorites hid, were on the mountain of the Moabite side. And the mountains of the side of the Amorites, there were opposite those hollows, horn-like, breast-like projections protruding outwards. Once Israel came to pass through the valley, the mountains of the land of Israel, of the land of the Amorites, which will be incorporated into the land of Israel, trembled like a slave woman who goes out to greet her mistress, her female employee, and came close to the side of the mountain of Moab, and these breast-like projections entered into those hollows and killed the Amorites, and this is the meaning of when it veered to dwell at Orm, the mountains veered from one location. Of course, it was a miracle. The mountains and came close to the side of the Moab and joined itself to it. It means the two mountains stuck together with these holes and these projections, and this is what is meant, and leaned against the border of Moab. Israel passed by the mountains and were not aware of these miracles, but through the well, which entered the scene, which means they just went to the beginning, came out the other end. It had already killed the people. The blood dripped down, and it went back to its original position. When the Jews came by a few hours later, they didn't notice anything, but there were mountains. One side had blood running down it. Obviously, God made some kind of miracle. They probably figured up in the caves there, they wanted to kill us. God killed them. See how the miracle happened? Okay, so go back to the Pussy. Pussy 15, page 257. And the outpouring, Eshed means a waterfall, of blood, on the column of those rivers of blood. A Shenotah that bent over the Shevis Arm next to the city of Arm, Vinishan Gvul Moab, and leaned against the border of Moab, the two mountains came together. Mishon Be'era, and then they went from there to another place called Be'era, to a big place, a well. Be'er, that is the, well, it is the well which Hashem taught Moshe, She'omar Hashem to Moshe. Esav is home, gather the people, I'm going to give them water. Then the Jews sang a song, one pasuk long, pasuk 17. Oz Yoshe Yisrael Tashir Azos. Then Jews sang this song. About how many words is this? I think about 8 or 9 words. Alei Be'er, come up, O well. The Jews said all of a sudden together, millions of people, come up, O well. What does that mean? What do you mean, come up, O well? It means Miriam's well disappeared. Come up. Alei Be'er, unto answer us. Which means if you come up, you're asking and answering us. Be'er, Habakkur Sorim, the well that the ministers dug. This could mean Miriam's well, but it could mean the ministers of the Jewish people. Avraham discovered Judaism, and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Moshe taught him Torah. Maybe it means that Alei Be'er contains water, what gives you life. Torah gives you life. Alei Be'er, answer us. Be'er HaParuch, so I'm the great princes, Moshe and Aaron and Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they dug it. Karu and the Diveyam, those who gave of their own life for the people, that's Avraham who created this thing. This idea of a religion, you bow down to an invisible God. Through a lawgiver with their walking sticks. With the walking sticks. A walking stick supports you. Torah supports you. Bish, I know some. And you can lean on it. You can lean on motion. I don't find out all what it means. And from the Midrash, they went to the place they got the gift. Mount Sinai, where they got the gift. And from Matana, they went to Nachliel. God's inheritance, that's Eretz Yisrael. Umenachliel, from they went, Bomos, to the very highest places in the world. When you learn Torah, you're the highest human being in the world. Bomos, a guy. And from the high, high place, they looked to the rest of the world, which is a valley. Everybody is below you, because you make contact with Hashem. Bomos is a high place, but this is a code language, you see. Bomos, a guy, down to the valley, which means you're at a very high level. You're looking down on the rest of mankind. And they can't. It's not their fault, but they don't have to keep the Torah. As long as they keep 7 mitzvahs, they're tzaddikim. But they're not on your level. Asher b'steimo, which is in the field of Moab. Rosh HaPisgah, at the top of the peak. V'nishkofa, and it looks down, apnei Yishimon, to the surface of Yishimon. Shimon means desolation. The whole world is desolate compared to us. That's why they want to kill us. That's why at the end of days, which we're living right now, every 90 majority of people are looking for a life that's not human, filthy, immoral lifestyle. And everyone who speaks differently, they laugh at you. Now, we will look down upon Yishimon as a destruction of the world. We today, the whole world, is so much closer to God than thousands of years ago. They have the Eastern religion called Christianity. Part of it is true and 90% is a lie. And Islam, they believe in one God, Allah. It wasn't like that 1,000 years ago. It was pagan. So we spread this idea that people have rights and you can't steal and you can't cheat and you can't worship things. We brought that to the world. Now we get to the Shvi'i, Pasuk 21. Yishlach Yisrael Melech, they said agents. El Sichon, that's a big giant. Melech HaMori, the king of the Amorites, Lamor. Eberom, can I go to your land? Lo Nita of the study will not go into anybody's field, over Kerem, or walk on his vineyard. Lo Nishte, bay air. We will not drink anybody's water, but there come else. Nez will go in the king's way. Until we pass through you. Just like the other people. Didn't give permission. They hate us. Oh, who's this? Mine or yours? Rob just got on this great cheer. Who is this? Who is this guy? Who is this who gave me this? 720-232-5918. Just got on this great cheer. July 10-58. Oh, I don't know. Who is this? You don't want to say your name? Good. All right. Somebody's on here. Lo Nosson Sichon, as you saw, and Sichon, Og's brother, two giants, didn't want the swell, give him trespass rights. Bigvul, but yes, of Sichon, as Kolamo, Sichon, the giant, the brother of Og, came out with his whole nation. The eight of the cross, you saw, went face to face with you saw. They won't have a war. Hamidbar into the desert. Oh, boy. Now watch what happens to them. By Yova Yohatso, they came out to Yohatz. Yohatso means two Yohatz. They fought with Yisrael. The Yakei Yisrael, Jews beat them up. The Fichor by the mouth of the sword. Does that mean they actually killed them with the sword? Maybe. Maybe it could mean that the mouth of the sword, the blade, is your mouth. You pray to God, please get rid of these people. And Cherub, they were destroyed. They just could drop dead if God wanted to. Ooh, maybe they actually slaughtered them. Maybe their mouth was talking like the edge of a sword. Maybe they were destroying. You know, Churban means destruction. Well, they took care of them. The Yira says, so we inherit their land. Because if you come out to kill us and you're not there anymore, and you're gone, so we take over your land. Ma'arnon, from the Arnon River, Adyabok. If you look on the right side of the Yardane River, you see the two rivers, a whole bunch of area. Here in the pages, an inch or two, maybe it's hundreds of miles. Ma'arnon to Yabok, two rivers, Arnon and Yabok. Adpenei, Amon, up to the people of Amon. The border was very strong, very well protected. Pasuk 25. Yichach Yisrael as Kol Ha'orah. Jews took all those cities on the right side of the Jordan. They lived in the Amorite cities because they killed their army. B'Cheshbon, in Cheshbon, that's the capital city, Cheshbon. All the daughters, that means all the little towns and villages. Cheshbon ir Sichon. Cheshbon is the main capital of Sichon. Melech Amori, the king of the Amorites. He Nilcham b'Melech Moab. And they fought, before they fought the Jews, they fought with Moab. Ammon and Moab were two brothers, you know, two children from the two daughters that slept with Noach. With Noach? No,
Lot.
Who? Lot, right. And they, two brothers, they had two mothers, two sisters, but the same father, and the father was the grandfather and the father, you know, Lot. And they were his half-brothers, so they hated Jews. Menilchem b'melech Moab, so they fought with the Sichon beat up Moab before the Jews came. Harishon, Yichach, and took all his land. Now we beat up Moab, now we got both lands. Miyado ad Arnon. All came there for Yomru. People say, Hamoshlim, those people who make poems. That means next week's parsha, Balak and Bilam, the great Gentile philosophers say, let's take a look at this. Make an accounting. Kibana, it will be built up. What will be built? With the Konan, it will be established. Ir Sichon. Take a look, 26 on the bottom, Rashi. 27. Okay, about this. About this war, which Sichon waged against Moab. And then we beat Moab. Therefore, we got Moab's land. And we got Sichon's land. Because we killed Sichon, who owned Moab. That was hundreds of years before Jews got there. And now we own Moab. Yom HaMoshim, the poets would say, this refers to Bilam, next week's Sedra. Shinama, of whom it says, he picked up his parable. He was a great man, Bilam. Very sick and perverted, but brilliant man. He knew what's happening in nature. He looked at the stars. He knew what's going to happen. HaMoshim, the next Rashi, Bilam and his father, Baor, they said, come to Cheshbon. Cheshbon is the capital city, but Cheshbon means think about this. Cheshbon means come and think about this. These guys are going to take over the whole world. He was unable to conquer it from the Moabites, so he sent and hired Bilam to curse it. Zehu, this is meant by what Balak said to Bilam. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, whoever you curse is cursed. Could you curse the Jewish people? Because they're the most powerful nation in the world. And next week's parasha, you'd see that he wouldn't curse. He never said one lie. He hated the Jews, but he wouldn't say a lie. Because Bilam is the Gilgul reincarnation of Lavan. And Lavan, God came to him in a dream and says, don't talk to your nephew, Yaakov, your son-in-law, your nephew, Yaakov, good or bad. But he came to us next morning and says, God came to me. I shouldn't attack you verbally, but I'm going to. I could kill you, you know, but I'm not going to do it. So many, 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 many generations later comes Bilam, a Gilgal of Lavan, who did not talk bad, even though he wanted to. He may have been a low life and slept with his animal, but he was not a liar. So he came and made up the sin of Lavan. The whole medrash about this. Whoever is blessed is blessed, whoever is cursed is cursed. But he couldn't curse the Jewish people. He had free choice to do it, but he wouldn't do it. Smart he was, because he knows his great-great-great-great-grandfather, Lavan, didn't keep God's word when God said the night before he met Yaakov, don't talk to him, good or bad. He said, you know, God came to me not to talk to you bad. But you know, I could kill you, see all these soldiers I got here? I'm not going to do it. He shouldn't have said that part. So Bilam is his Gilgal, and he did not speak bad. He's a Russian, but he's not a liar. Okay. Look next, Rashi. A fire has gone out from Cheshbon. Once Sichon has conquered it, which means they can't do anything. Sichon owns it. Let's go further. And Yosem Sichon, a fire went out of Sichon. Cheshbon, Lahava, flame. Kiryat Sichon. These are very difficult words. Well, Bali, but most are known. Oy lachom Moab, woe to you, Moab, what's going to happen to you? Moab, from the father, you know, they slept with their father, the daughters of Lot. Oy, woe to you, Moab. Me'ab, from the father, right? Ovada, you're going to be destroyed, you know. I'm Kamosh, the people of Kamosh, they believed in an idol called Kamosh. And that about his order of theirs. Nosan Bonov Platon, he delivered his sons as fugitives. Benosov and his daughters as captives. The Melech Amori Sichon. This is very difficult code language. Meniram, Ovad, Cheshbon, Adivon. This, if you knew the man tracing these words, this talks about what's going to be in the future world if Mashiach comes. Total destruction of all anti-God forces. Yishlach Moshe, now it's Pasuk 32, page 267. Moshe sent to Ragia, like Meraglim, to spy out Yazer. That's a town. Yilkadu, and captured its suburbs. But no, sell the daughters, that means the suburbs. The Yerushas Amori, and they drove away the Amorites, a Shisham that's there. The Jews were a super force then at that time. No one could beat them. The Yifnum, the Yalu, and they turned away the Jews and ascended the way of Bashan up to the Golan Heights. That's where Og lives. The Yifnum, the Yalu, Derech HaBashan. Ever been in Israel? The Bashan is the Golan Heights. The Yates Og came out, the brother of Sichon, a giant, 48 feet tall. Melech Bashan, the king of Bashan, the Krosim, him and his whole nation, the Melchama for war. Edrei, to the town of Edrei. Now, these people knew they're going to get killed by Jews. They were so fanatically dedicated to get the Jews, they didn't care if they die in the process. The Yom HaShem HaMoshim, Alei Al-Tirot, do not be afraid of him, a giant. Obviously, he didn't have wimps as soldiers. They're all big giants. Okay, don't be afraid. Biggest human being in the world. Don't be afraid of him. The Yodachor inside you, I'm giving him to your hand. The Yodachor in your hand, you don't need a soldier, an army. Nosati, also, I'm going to give him to you. As call all his people. As add to all his land. Do to him what you did to his brother Sichon. Wipe him out. And all the people. Melech Amori, Asher Yosef Cheshbon, that lives down in Cheshbon. Yaakov, so, and they smote him. That's Bonav and his sons. That's Kolamo, the whole nation. I'll bid this roast rid, not even one strand left. Nobody from that nation survived. No survivor. Lo, Albilti did not. Hishir remain. Sorid. Sorid is like a string, not even the great littlest baby. No person from that nation survived the world. The Yerushu es Atzal, we captured their whole land. Now we get to the last pasuk of the Seder. The Yisra ben Esau, the Jews traveled. The Yanachnu v'Arvos Moab. They now are at the plains of Moab, right on the east bank of the Yarden. Me'ever the Yarden, the east bank of the Yarden, Yericho, along its whole side. The town is called Yericho, but the whole side of the East Bank. Now Jews were on the East Bank. They're coming across. The Goyim knew it for 40 years because Avram told them 500 years earlier we're taking over this land. And the Jews were the super force. No one could defeat them. You see how they winning these wars are by miracles. It's and that's how it's going to be. Mashiach comes. Everyone will fear Yisrael. And because God will say, listen, you Goyim, you beat them up for thousands of years. Now it's my turn to show the other hand. And it'll be a horrible day. It'll be a great day for Tzadikim and Tisan Goyim. And it'll be a horrible day for the others. It's like Yom Kippur, the day when you're going to get either saved or punished. So we're coming closer and closer to that. And the Goyim know it too. They talk about Yashka coming back, and they talk about the seventh, the Muslim, the seventh Imam is coming out of a well. And everybody knows something is going to happen one day that's going to change the world. And it's true. So can't continue like this because they're getting more and more perverted. The more advanced you are in technology, the more loose you are in your morals. You see the world. See it. Look, the greatest people, the biggest kings, the presidents, everything, they get caught in these terrible scandals. Not everybody. I know there's exceptions. I think that most average person in the world is a decent person. They're just a few that make the headlines. That's all. Any questions on this? Hello. Am I still connected? No.
If you yes, Rabbi, I have a question regarding the snake. So, you know, they went through the whole thing with the eagle, and
right.
I know I understand the explanation, but it's still they're making it this it's not an idol, but it's a figure which you're not supposed to make.
Right, that's the question they asked in this Talmud. How can you make a figure of anything? Yes, you'll look up to it and you'll ask God, but maybe somebody will worship it. You know, so it says in Tanakh, centuries later, they made an avodah called Nechashton, little snake, on copper, and they put it on a pole. People worshipped it. It became avodah zarah. You can give the person the biggest gift. He'll turn it around to something else if he wants to. He'll do. You reopen the paper one day. You say, oh, tomatoes are poison. You can't eat them. Don't eat corn. Don't eat this. Hey, if you want to find something wrong with anything, you'll find it. And centuries later, in Tanakh, they had a religion called Nechash Stone. Oh, they believed in God, but they think God needs this is an extra force we need besides God. There can't be nothing besides God. So there can't be anything. So Nechash Stone is a copper snake. They worshipped it, actually. So Moshe had it smashed before he died because he knew this would happen. But the people made another one, a big bronze or copper snake on a pole. And whenever they got sick, they prayed to the snake, because God said, if you look at the snake and pray to God, you'll be cured. So they prayed to the snake rather than to God. They turned it into avodah zarah, like the Christians turned the Bible into their false religion. You can take anything and twist it around. If your mind is twisted, you can see anything you want to see. A wicked person is convinced till the day he dies that he's right. You know, look at life. When you have a child, you can tell them what to do. Well, once you get 18 or 20 or 30 or 40, you can't tell anybody to do anything. You can't tell them to switch their political parties or their religion. It has to come from the person himself. Either you see it and you get it, or you don't. You can't force an adult to change his point of view. He has to change his life because he finally sees it. You can't, to a child, you can force him, or a prisoner or a soldier, you can tell him, do this, take that mountain, go, because you're under orders. But it's free adult. It has to come from inner awakening that you see the truth. And most people can't see it, therefore they laugh at you. Oh, these old archaic nonsense things. You still believe in that stuff. Okay.
Why did it have to be specific? Why did it specifically have to be a snake that they made to look up to? Why
very good. Because God sent the snake to bite them.
And
God said it's not the snake that bites you. The snake can heal you. But they turned it around the other way. He sent the snake. You know why they bit them with the snake? A snake, his power is in his tongue. The Jews who complained against Moshe after 40 years also in their tongue. So he sends a snake that kills with the tongue. Like Lashon Hara kills a person with his tongue. So he sends a snake that bites you. lion, he mauls his animal, then he eats him. He doesn't bite him only. He jumped him, he knocks him down, he rips him apart. A snake, all he has is his mouth. So now Hashem said, the snake is not the one that kills you. You killed it. I just bought the snake, but therefore make a snake, put it on a flagpole, and everybody who looks up will say, oh, it's God that brought these punishments on me because I'm complaining. But then over centuries later, they say, look, pray to the snake. Didn't Moshe make a snake? But they left out the main thing. It's an order that you should look up to God. That's why when you're diving, you should keep your head sometimes facing upwards. Yeah, you look in the sitter, but sometimes you turn your – don't look with your at anybody while you're diving. You can look up for a moment and think about the heavens. God is up there watching me. Why does he need my prayer? Because he needs it. He wants you to pray. And the answer may be yes or maybe no. And if no, it's probably good for you also. Because if you would live longer, maybe you would have a terrible experience. Now he takes you young, takes you away early. You don't have to go through that. So you, when you pray, it says you should have, you should look up to God when you start the davening. And if you look up, you don't have to open your eyes. Close your eyes, but look up, you know. You don't have to, what are you looking at, the clouds? You put your head up, means to say, my mind is towards Hashem. He can make everything work out great, or maybe not. And he's not obligated to dance to your fiddle playing. You understand? You play the fiddle, and then someone dance. Doesn't have to listen to you, but prayer helps. So even now, right nowadays, prayer is the most powerful weapon we have. Call Yaakov. Yaakov said, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. Yitzchak said, but the hand is the hand of Esau. When he felt his hand, it was all hairy, you know. Your hand feels like, he didn't know it was Yaakov. You know, he thought it was, I don't know. He thought you have the hands of Esau, but your voice of Yaakov. Yaakov, we Jews have a power in the prayer. You see, at the dead, when the Yamsu split, and the Egyptian got drowned in there, and here there are these wars. I don't know if they really killed anybody physically. Maybe I don't know. Maybe they dropped dead. The Goyim and the Jews are fighting them. Could be they had to do it. Maybe it happened miraculously. I'll pee your head of the blade of the sword. Just like the blade kills, maybe your mouth is like a blade too. We have very strong prayer. It says they pray to God, and then they beat him. How they beat him, they don't go into details. This is very, very mysterious.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome. We have to go. It's 11:30. Yeah, have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Rabbi Schwab.
Who? Who's it?
The snake was punished that it lost its speech.
Oh, very good.
For misuse of its speech.
Yeah. You know why?
And it's interesting that the snake is now used as a punishment.
Oh, very good. Very good. You're a thinking man. There's Nochash in the beginning in Gan Eden. God took off his feet. Even a fly has feet. He has no feet. He has a wiggle on his belly. It's a bizarre and really a little bit embarrassing because every animal has feet. But he knew what he was doing. He's misleading Adam and Chava. He knew what he was doing. That's why when God didn't ask him, what did you do? He punished him because the snake was so clever. He misled Chava, who misled her husband, Adam. So he doesn't give the snake. He asked the man, what did you do? Oh, the woman. Woman, what did you do? Oh, the snake. When he came to the snake, he didn't say, what did you do? He said, you're going to have no feet. Because he was very, 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 very clever, the snake. And he didn't realize that God is more clever. So God made him now no feet. Now, at the end of time, when Moshe was there, thousands of years later, you take a snake and you put him on a flagpole and then you say, pray to God, and use the snake as a means, which means first he's such a cursed animal, and now it helps you to believe in God. Very strange. You're a thinking person. You see how deep this stuff goes? The snake is a sign of life. You pray to God, it saves your life. And in the beginning, the snake got cursed as the worst creature of all. And now you, very Kabbalistic ideas, by the way. And you see how complicated the Torah is. If you look in the Medrashim, on this, what we're learning right now, look at the Medrash. Says, it's translated in English. The Medrash says, you can buy it, 5 volumes, on every book of the Torah. And it gives pages and pages on this thing with the snake. So deep. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. That's why when you're in love with Torah, you can never get enough of learning because you just can't get enough of it. You know these psukim or mystical psukim, mountains coming together and killing each people inside the caves. and this, and waterfalls of blood. Obviously, this is very deep stuff.
You know, they explain that very simply.
Yeah, I know, but...
They say that the world was one body, and when it separated, they broke apart, and that's why they... But really, Eckhart Tolle set it up specifically so they could fool themselves.
Yeah, exactly. But you have to be a mammon to believe it. Some people say, well, that's your opinion. You mean the Medrash, they made it up? The Medrash was written by Tanoim, who wrote the Mishnah. They didn't make up anything. They didn't do any, anything. Didn't hear from the Rebbe, the father, the Rebbe, all the way back. They didn't make up stuff. This was all told to the Jews orally the first 1,000 years.
When I was younger, I was in yeshiva out of New York.
Yeah.
And there was a man, well, there was a woman who, she had a thing to go marry Goyim.
Yeah.
Have children, and then try to make them Jewish.
Really?
The problem was that I saw was there was a rav ready to convert the husband and have a chuppah.
Yeah.
So I was friends with the man. He taught me how to do a lot of things in terms of trade and building and whatnot, so I was friendly with him. And I told the rav called me over because he wanted the last part of his heirs, they had to supervise him and see, was he for real, was he not? So he asked me, the Rav asked me to report once a week, come in and tell me what I saw of him. You know, did I see him, you know, breaking more than one thing on Shabbos? Did I see him, you know, sneaking in? So the Rav asked me just to report. I told him fine, but I told him straight out, I disagree with you completely. I think you're not allowed to do this. I learned that, you know, me, I'm the smart kid, right?
Yeah.
And I told him that it's, you know, doesn't make sense. So the Rav answered me simply, wait 5, 10, and 15 years. I did. I waited. 5 years later, the couple got divorced.
Oh.
10 years later, the husband... The father of this man found out, meaning the Ger's father found out that he converted and disowned him. His father was very wealthy, and he cut him off completely. 15 years later, I came to visit, and I see him sitting in Beis Medrash. I said, what are you doing here? This is the one that converted.
Converted to Judaism.
What?
He converted to Judaism.
The one that converted because he married this girl. I said, what are you doing here? I mean, you know, I said straight out, I said to him, you don't have to fool anybody. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be more than everybody. You know, he was in the Beis Medrash more than most of the rabbis. So what are you doing here?
What do you think?
Like, enough. He said, what else do I have? I'm retired. I don't need to work. He was 55. He had full pension from the city, from his city job. So I get up in the morning early, and he goes to the mikveh every day. He learns, he davens, and, you know, he said, then I do a little bit of work, because a man has to work. Then I go back and I learn. He said, what else do I have to do? I asked him, I said, why did you join? You lost everything. He would have had millions.
Why did he lose it? Oh, because the father said, you convert, I'm cutting you off.
No, the father said, you can do whatever you want with this girl. Okay, bring her to church, whatever, go to her synagogue, take care of them, put on a good show, right? But if I find out or I suspect you joined them,
what do you mean joined them?
You're not for me.
What do you mean?
So he told me, he said, I didn't lose anything, first of all. I didn't have anything to begin with. When I saw the way that from Eden lived, I had to be part of it.
And what?
He told me, this was 15 years after his conversion. He lost everything. His wife threw him out. She went and married another
guy.
Why
did she throw him out?
She left.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was too Jewish for him. She didn't want to marry a Jewish guy. She wanted to marry a guy. And he became a frum yid and brought her along for the ride. And she had enough of it. But the Rav saw it. I couldn't see it as a bacher. I just couldn't see it. The Rav knew all the details, and he understood that this man was sacrificing so much to join... to become a yid, that even though he was in a relationship with someone previously, and right away, the next day, had a chuppah after the conversion, he wasn't doing it for that, you know. What he told me also is he was hoping that if he became completely frum and showed her, it's not so, you know, he would pull her back to where she belonged.
So the rumble's
so
running.
That's what they when a guy really sees what Yiddish guy is about, they don't want any of what they have.
I mean, the rumble's right.
Rumble's 100% right, and I couldn't see it. I also didn't know all the details back then. I just knew him, and I knew the halacha is, you know.
But the rub, was he a big
time conversion?
Was this rub a real tzaddik?
I don't know, but he definitely saw his. He saw ahead of what I could see.
Yeah, that shows that he was a smart man and Yir Shemayim, because he saw what. And you didn't believe it, but as time went on, that rub was right. The guy became a tzaddik.
Yeah. Yeah. But not only he asked me. You know, he asked me to watch him and just report what I saw.
Yeah.
And I thought that meant to tell him that I disagreed. He said, thank you very much, and wait 5, 10, or 15 years. And exactly on that time frame, the wife left. He lost anything he had from his family, his previous family. And then 15 years later, you walk in, he's sitting in Beis Medrash.
See that? I mean, he was the guy who converted, and he saw that Christianity is not true.
Yes, yes.
That's it. See, a real intelligent guy, when he sees that his religion is made up fraud, they see it so clearly, probably more than we do because we were never going, but they saw the other corrupted, distorted side, and they're so dedicated, 100% probably firmer than we are. Because you see, the guy was cut off, he has nothing, and he shows up every morning and davening.
Morning, all day practically. He went out a little bit for 2 hours.
Baruch Hashem, yes, that's a real tzaddik.
All right.
Yeah, it's always nice talking to you because you have, you know, most of the people in this year don't know much. But you have, you know, you and me, we grew up from. But
good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, everybody. Who's this? Bruce?
Bruce.
Bruce, okay. You hear Eliezer's story about that guy?
I did.
What a story.
Yep.
My goodness.
Yeah. Okay. Have a good Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos, Eliezer and Bruce. And who else is on? Anybody else?
Mayor Pearl.
Okay, I hope it comes out, whatever you have to do, comes out good, Mayor.
Amen.
All right, I'm hanging up. Good Shabbos, everybody, Mayor and everybody.
Good Shabbos, guys.
Yes, sir. Have a good Shabbos. Come on. Thank you.